I think it's a combination of a system that was really set up in the early 1900s to address food threats back then that has tried to evolve over time to address the food threats of the 21st century, but it does not have the laws and practices that it really needs. It doesn't have any updated federal laws that give it more power. The resources really have not kept up with the threats. I think one thing that we point out is that, you know, so much of the food we eat is imported these days, especially when you're talking about fruits and vegetables and seafood. I think in seafood it's somewhere around 60% of all the food we eat is imported, fruits and vegetables as high as 75%. And the Food and Drug Administration is only able to inspect 1% of all imported food. So that just gives you an idea of sort of what the resources the FDA has and the change in the food that we eat. I mean, they just can't keep up with it.
So is it an issue of money and personnel, or is it beyond that?
It's beyond that, of course. Money and personnel is essential, and right now we really aren't putting the money where the greatest risks are, and even the FDA's own science board has said the agency is chronically underfunded. So resources and staffing are clearly a problem, but it does go deeper than that. As I said, the laws and practices are severely outdated. The current FDA laws date back to 1906 and 1938, so obviously, those laws are not really adequate to deal with the food safety system in the 21st century. And then I think the third problem is that the agency is really spread too thin. I think one problem is that the Food and Drug Administration has to regulate both drugs and medical devices and food. And right now, the majority of the attention and resources go to drugs and medical devices, which we're not saying that you should not pay attention to those areas. Obviously, that's a very important responsibility. However, food is sort of on the back burner, and right now, there's no single official who's responsible for food safety. The food safety functions are spread across a number of different offices at FDA. There's no one official who has who can basically look at the budget and say, this is how I want to spend my resources on food safety. So I think that lack of coordination and oversight is also a major problem, and that's why we think there needs to be some restructuring within FDA.
You're calling for major organizational change. You're calling for the president to step up and realign the different resources, and you're calling for Congress to create a new office within the FDA, right?
Right. We do acknowledge that that does not have to happen right away. I think there are some more immediate steps that could be taken within FDA. Before you talk about splitting things up, I think that the Secretary of Health and Human Services could designate an official within FDA to basically oversee all food safety functions and get the offices within FDA working together in a bit more coordinated fashion. But then I think a medium-term step is a restructuring and to spin off a food safety agency within the Department of Health and Human Services that would really take a preventive effort and look at the food safety system as a whole and just have a lot more resources and focus as compared to the current structure.
So let's talk a bit about the response that you've gotten to the report so far. I mean, we have already heard from the president that he agrees that there needs to be some changes made. I mean, so it seems like there's at least some support out there. And I know that you want this report to serve as sort of a roadmap for that change. Have you heard back? Have you gotten any response yet?
I am not aware of any response from the administration. I do think that in the current economic climate that Congress might be a little hesitant to set up a new bureaucratic agency, and we recognize that, which is why we also include recommendations for the immediate term. But, you know, this is something that is a serious threat. Foodborne disease outbreaks cost the country economically. I think the current estimate is that it's around $44 billion annually in medical care and lost productivity. And then you think about the economic impact. I mean, for example, last year, everybody was all worried about salmonella in tomatoes. It was, you know, a problem with tomatoes. Everybody was being told not to eat tomatoes. A few months later, once the science starts to come in and people are able to determine what was really the cause of this outbreak, it turns out it was peppers. Well, the poor tomato farmers lost somewhere around $100 million. And so it's not just something that is affecting Americans in terms of lost sick days. I mean, it really is an economic threat. And I think when we are in a recession, when we're in a climate where every dollar counts, I think if you can put money into prevention, you can save some money in the long term.
One of the organizations that you're talking about here is the Center for Veterinary Medicine, along with the Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition and the the Office of Regulatory Affairs and sort of establishing a deputy commissioner to sort of give authority over all of that, to kind of streamline everything. But my question is, the Center for Veterinary Medicine?
Well, I mean, the Center for Veterinary Medicine is a center that looks at what we're feeding animals. And I think that a lot of people would consider what goes into animal feed to be pretty important. So I think it has much more of a natural fit with food safety than it does with drugs and medical devices. And so in that view, it is a more natural fit.
I see. We're not necessarily talking about dog and cat food. We're talking about food for things that we may consume.
Correct.
Got it.
I mean, it's all. It's not just, you know, what you're feeding Fido. It's what the animals on the farm are eating and whatnot.
It's all part of the food chain.
Right.
Which is actually what you really hit on here, now that I'm looking at it and talking to you about it. It's about keeping the food chain in a chain. Right now, it's not even, the links aren't connected.
Right. I mean, one thing that I think is pretty impressive today, if you buy a pair of shoes online, those shoes, you can basically track them until they arrive at your door via UPS. You know, you can see where the package is from point A to point B. With our food safety system, we really don't have that capability. So when there is an outbreak in produce, for example, it takes a while for people to track that down. And not only does that mean more people get sick, but it means that the economic losses pile up because there's so much uncertainty that the FDA has to issue such a broad, you know, statement warning people away from all sorts of lettuce, for example, like say, when it might just be spinach from a specific farm. So we have the technology to track food and to make sure we know where the food is coming from and what what the quality is. And I think it's just a matter of putting that technology to play.
You've illustrated why this is a health issue, and you've illustrated why this is an economic issue. It's also a security issue, isn't it?
Well, sure. I mean, if you think that, I believe in one of the last administration, they were very concerned about the threat to our food safety system, and I think that there's a lot of concern about how easy it would be to intentionally contaminate the food supply. So keeping America's food safe is not just from salmonella or from E. coli, but it would be keeping it safe from an intentional attack of, let's say, botulism or something. And that's a really worst-case scenario, but I think if you put some of these preventive measures into place for sort of regular food safety threats, it will help prevent an intentional attack.